Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Well, I don't need any help.
Fear Strikes Out, with Anthony Perkins scoring the dramatic sensation of the year in the real-life story of young Jimmy Pearsall.
This is the trailer from the 1957 movie Fear Strikes Out. Anthony Perkins playing young Jimmy Pearsall. Carl Malden, Norma Moore, starring this dramatization of Jimmy Pearsall's life. Many of us remember Jimmy Pearsall best as the partner to Harry Carey up in the broadcast booth, broadcasting White Sox games back in the day. But he was a star outfielder with the Boston Red Sox. Jimmy Pearsall passed away this morning, 87 years old. He died actually yesterday at a care facility in the Wheaton area. And joining us on the phone line to remember Jimmy Pearsall this morning is one of the great guys ever in Chicago broadcasting. 48 years in the business, 25 of them at WGN-TV. My pleasure to talk to my old friend Rich King again. Hi, Rich. How are you, pal?
Hey, Dean. How you doing? Sorry, we're talking on such a sad day for Jan and the Pearsall family. My condolences, first of all, to Jan. Took care of Jimmy for many, many years, and very sad news here. News this morning.
What are your best memories? You worked with him for a couple of years. What are your best memories as a co-worker of him, and what do you think the Jimmy Pearsall legacy is going to be?
Well, I'll tell you, it's really it's two things, really. Going back, Dean, of course, I'm old enough to have seen Jimmy Pearsall play. In fact, the first game my father took me to at Old Comiskey Park was 1957, when Jimmy was an outfielder for the Boston Red Sox, and Ted Williams and that group. They were some great teams in Boston. He always told me he had 272 as a career average, and which was back then was not that good, but over the years it stood up pretty well. I was very proud of the batting average, but he was a great center fielder, one of the best in the business, could catch anything. Of course, later on, as you mentioned, I got a chance to work with him in the broadcast booth in 1980 and 1981. And his legacy will be as a two people, really, in my eyes. He could be the most gracious guy in the world. You know, players did not like him because he criticized the players a lot. Players didn't like Harry either, for that matter. So consequently, when I got on the plane with the team, Glenn Rosenbaum, the traveling secretary, would place me with Pearsall because I was the last guy on the broadcast team. And consequently, though, I got a chance to hang around with him for 2 years and jog with him and did a bunch of things. And he could be, one day he was the greatest guy in the world, next day he had a temper and he lost it and did crazy things. So, you know, a joke of me, he had papers to prove that he was crazy. And he was just a double person. I don't know how to put it that way. Bipolar, I guess, is the right word.
Literally. Suffering from bipolar disorder, and had become sort of, the first public voice of a bipolar disorder and the need for mental health, not being ashamed to reach out for help if you're having emotional trouble.
No, he did. I think one day when he didn't take his medication, he got in trouble. When he did take his medication, I think he was fine. Of course, he got involved in a fight with Rob Gallison and really almost choked him into serious choking, and gave an obscene gesture to an umpire when I was with him. I was standing right next to him when the umpire was looking up at him. So he did a lot of things that were, of course, out of the box, but he also could be the nicest guy in the world. I mean, I jogged with him. I mentioned we'd had hung around together, went for lunches and stuff, and he was very gracious and very outgoing and very helpful. As a broadcaster, he angered a lot of the White Sox players, but he told it like it was. I think he went a step too far. He couldn't say the things Jimmy said and still be associated with the team, because you can't denigrate the team you're covering. You can criticize them for bad play and stuff, but he went beyond the realm of that area.
Yeah.
But I think that's, Dean, I think that's the legacy, two people.
What do you think makes that team of Harry Carey and Jimmy Pearsall so memorable? As we've been talking about Pearsall this morning, everybody is remembering what a colorful play-by-play and color combination those two were.
Because they said they went beyond the realm of the broad. You don't hear that kind of broadcast anymore, because it's they criticized the White Sox team, and to the point where they were funny doing it. Honestly, ironically, as a broadcaster with them, they took the sensationalistic route. They went for the jugular. And they angered a lot of players and the manager, too, Tony La Russa. So it really was a broadcast that was funny to listen to. You never knew what they were going to say. I remember Harry would say wild things, and Jimmy would follow right along with him. So when you listen to that kind of broadcast, obviously it's an attraction, because any moment they say something funny or crazy or whatever, and so that's why it was entertaining, and that's why people listen.
Yeah, I guess it was that unpredictability that we are remembering. You know what I remember in particular? It was the night of the disco demolition at the old Comiskey Park, and I remember Jimmy in particular just railing against how, you know, and how what a terrible thing this was, and you know that it's unprecedented in the history of baseball, and they should be ashamed of themselves for, you know, for tearing up the park. Do you remember anything about that?
I was there. he was dead out about that too. Jimmy was right. It was a terrible. It was a travesty. I mean, Bill Beck set that up, and it was a big mistake on Bill's part, because it was dangerous. Albums were flying out of the upper deck. It could have hit somebody in the eye. And Ken Kravick, the pitcher for the White Sox, told me that he almost got hit in the head with a record, just flew by him in the upper deck. So it was a very dangerous thing to do. And I think it was a PR stunt that backfired on Bill. And instead of admitting it, Bill tried to stonewall it at first. But it was a bad situation. So Jimmy is absolutely correct. You can't turn a major league ballpark into a circus. And that's what they did with that event. So and that score, Jimmy was right.
Yeah, I don't know why I remember that, you know, so clearly of Jimmy railing against this whole event that was going on. He was a colorful character. That's for sure. And we love those in Chicago broadcasting. How is Rich King doing? How's retirement treating you?
Well, I'm actually not retired totally, Dean.
I didn't think you would be.
Yeah, no, I got a teaching job at DePaul. I sat around last summer after I quit the WGN and I golfed all summer, and I said, you know what, I can't do this on a regular basis. So I hooked up with a 10-week course and brought television broadcast journalism, which just ended. It was very entertaining, I think I imparted some decent knowledge to the students. And I've got a few other things in the fire, some golf freelancing I'm trying to do. So I'm trying to work, but not work too hard.
Yeah, work at your own pace. You need to write a book, though, Rich, about Chicago sports and your time of the many amazing events that you've covered. I mean, you had a front row seat at some of the biggest events in Chicago sports history.
Well, I think I will, Dean. I if it gets published, I don't know, but I've got two books that have been published. The second one, Back in the Game, which was a follow-up to My Maggie, had some of the stories in there about my broadcast career, but certainly not all of them. And looking back, and you forget, I always tell people, you forget the hard work, you forget the hours, you remember the good things, and the good things were so many in my life.
Right.
I'm very blessed to have that, covering Jordan and Peyton and all the great teams of Blackhawks and championships, so it was a wonderful career, and I miss a lot of it, believe me. I miss covering the games. I don't miss the hours, though, which got to be very grinding at the end.
Yeah, well, we miss you, that's for sure, and it's great to hear your voice. I hope we see you soon. The great Rich King, formerly of WGN Sports, joining us this morning to remember his old friend Jimmy Pearsall. Thanks, Rich. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Dean. Okay, take care now.